Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three of the most ethical journalists in games journalism. My name is Tommy Dasilow. Sitting next to me on this sweet little couch of mine, we got a sweet little boy, Ben Vanell.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast.
Sunday morning.
Yes.
How are you feeling?
I just got out of the car. Mm-hmm. I drove here. Mm-hmm. As listeners will know from last episode,
living that's not a feeling.
Out of the
how stunted are you?
I was in a Toyota.
When someone asks you about your feelings, you deflect it to just literally the last three things you've done. How am I feeling? I just ate dinner.
No, you son of a bitch. I'm feeling tired because I just had to drive here for an hour away.
You were giving setup.
Yeah, I was giving context.
Well, good thing I'm beginning to understand human conversation.
You're beginning, but you're not quite there.
No, I'm going to take this information back to my home planet,
now,
though, and
Adam
then
Knox.
We'll invade.
And also, you know him from this episode as Judge, Jury, and Executioner. It's Adam Knox.
I'll say anything.
How are you feeling?
How are
Maybe
you feeling?
Incorrectly. Well, I just ate breakfast. Bleep bloop.
Are you a food robot?
Nah,
yes, you are, actually.
I'm feeling tired as well.
You are a food robot.
I am basically a food robot, like a shark.
Why are you feeling tired?
I went to a friend's birthday party last night.
Okay, would that friend host a podcast?
He does host a podcast.
Oh.
Yeah. It's called What the Fuck with Mark Maron.
Oh,
he shortens it to WTF. WMM. No, it was it was Murphy who hosts...
Beer Eye with the Straight Guys?
That's it, yeah. No, Beer Eye for your mates, guys.
Yes. I know, yeah. I know.
It is a dumb name, though, Murphy, you idiot.
Now, Knox.
But that's a good podcast. We've all been on that before.
Yeah.
People should listen to that
podcast,
if they want.
Worth a listen.
Listen to this one the whole way through first, though.
Yes. Now, Knox, these socks you're wearing, do they match or what's going on here?
They don't look like they match.
They're of a similar type, I believe. I'm not that into matching socks.
What do you mean
clearly.
By similar type?
Well, they got that bit at the end. They've got the hole up the top.
They don't look like they even fit you. Like, the heel is like halfway down your foot on one of them.
Yeah, they look like children's
socks.
Yeah,
man. Well,
one of them has cassette tapes printed on it. Did you get it from an op shop a
one
long
of them
time
says,
ago?
This sock belongs to a child named Ron. Wait, what kind of fucked up child is named Ron?
Ron Weasley from Harry Potter.
Oh yeah, that's true. It's just
he is a pretty fucked up child, though. To be fair,
he is. My dad's name is Ron, so whenever someone's name.
Wow.
Whenever someone's name is Ron, I don't know why that was the name I thought.
They can never be a child because you've only known your dad to be an adult.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
No, that was like subliminal daddy issues. It's like, what kind of fucking piece of shit cunt would have the name Ron? I'm sorry, Dad. I do a podcast. I just want you to be proud of me.
Maybe someday he will come and see one of your comedy shows.
Mm. Don't want him to.
Oh.
They're no good.
I guess the point I'm getting at is get your fucking feet off my coffee table.
All right,
no,
fine.
I'm kidding.
It was so comfortable. Okay,
I want you to be comfortable. I want you to be happy. I want you to be relaxed while you're doing this.
It's going to make this a lot easier.
Yeah.
It's going to make it for a better show.
Oh, God. Make what easier?
Now take off your pants.
So, guys, video games.
Oh, okay.
You heard of them? Hot new form of entertainment.
Nope. Never heard of them.
Okay.
See you next week.
No.
Good night, everybody.
Why would you see us next week?
That was, by the way, that's see you next week. I don't know if we can be bothered talking about this, but that is an example of, because me and Tommy just before this started were talking about like how you knowingly do like real hack jokes sometimes, like real old and like.
Oh,
that,
yeah,
like,
just to get yourself
that's
laugh.
The end, everybody. Or like, good night, everybody, on like a panel show or whatever when people do that.
Yep.
That's my favorite one.
Oh, really?
Is when someone will do something outrageous like fucking Madonna takes her top off or whatever and then David Letterman will go like, well, good night, everybody. That's my favorite one.
Oh, the fake wrap-up you mean.
Yeah.
I thought you just meant you found it funny when people just end a show. Like the end of something is hilarious to you.
Just farewells.
It's because my brain is so simple. Like a child, when the TV show like goes out of the room,
yep.
I'm what? Amazed by it when it like comes
back on the next
week. You
know those walking TVs?
You know what I mean. Like peekaboo
when
with a child.
When the TV show yeah. goes out of the room.
Like when a parent walks away and then comes back and goes like, hey, that was a trick for you, baby.
What?
What are you... Do you
fucking the peekaboo.
Oh, I get it. Like a trick. Like when your dad says he's just going out to get smokes.
Babies have no object
permanence.
And then
it's 15 years later and you're
wearing
like,
his
wow.
socks.
Should we go around what...
Good night, Ron.
What have we been playing recently? I'd like to talk about very briefly. I have a recommendation for an iPhone game.
Yes.
That Ooh. Came to me from a listener of the show, Pete. Friend yep. of personal friend of mine.
Right.
Close personal friend of mine. Who messaged me to say he's been listening to the show.
Excellent.
And he's in hospital at the moment.
Yeah.
So I'm just telling you that, guys.
Get well,
there's
Pete.
There's a sick kid out there that really wants this podcast to pull through. So
okay,
let's
well, so apart
really...
from you, what else?
Fuck!
I have some children's socks I can donate if he needs any.
He recommended a game, Twofold Inc.,
okay.
I think it's called.
He recommended it twice. Good night, everybody.
I think they've just switched off his life support after hearing this leaking out of the old earbuds. It is a game made by the people who made Rimmed Capsule.
Oh,
which
okay.
I think I've talked about on this show before.
I've played it, yeah, yeah.
Strategy game that I was a big fan of. Did you
yeah.
like it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I love it. It's basically you're building a little base and it's like on a time frame and like... Every now and then, little things will come and attack you, and whether you survive is sort of based on how big you've built up your base. And you have like a limited amount of time to make certain amount of things happen. I'm explaining
it horribly,
you talking about this. But it is very fun, and I kind of went off it because it's when everything's cooking, like it's great. Like when you get to a certain point, you've made your base really big. It's awesome. But then if you lose, you have to go back to the start. Just building up to a kind of functioning level takes forever, and I kind of got over doing that initial bit, but. They have made a new game. It's called Twofold, and it's kind of it's part you know those like it's a puzzle game.
Yeah.
It's part like matching up, you know, Candy Crush style, like linking up thick boxes of the same color.
Yeah.
Part Rubik's Cube, where it's like on the side
you
can move the columns around so they match up. So if you don't have enough blue on one side, you can move one row or column at a time.
Right.
So you're trying to...
So is it two-dimensional?
It's two-dimensional,
okay, right.
But you've just got buttons on every
right,
at
so
the end of everything.
Right, so you can move in any direction.
Right.
Yeah, but you've only got a limited number of moves, and you're linking up is a move, and you're moving the board is a move as well.
But so you can, if something like, if you want to move one square to one that's like three up diagonally to the left... You can walk it like
you've got
it.
You've
three
like
to the
a
left
Rubik's Cube. You have to twirl that bit around and then go up.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And so you basically you have to link up say three of red, three of blue, and three of white.
Right.
And you've got eight moves to do it in. Including the linking is a move and the moving is a move.
Right.
So you've sort of got to look at like
you got to like
you've
got to
be so you can't just like blindly go in and be rotating and all that stuff. So I played it for a couple of hours last night. Good fun. I love a good puzzle game.
Yep.
That's my ultimate for the iPhone on the tram.
Mm-hmm.
I said I've been playing Pocket Mortys. The Pocket Mortys for public transport is you know you're in the middle of a fight and then you have to get off the tram. It's kind of a bummer.
Yep.
But I feel like this could replace Threes as my number one go to iPhone game. I fucking love Threes.
Threes is real good. I didn't like 2048.
I didn't mind it. I gave it a good shake.
Well, because Threes, if you swipe it to the left, they all just move one. But 2048, they'll sweep to the edge.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
And Threes is better. But Threes is also...
I haven't played 2048. Is it the same?
Same thing, just like it's... Yeah, exactly the same thing. But just
is it the same makers?
Numbers.
Answer my fucking question.
No.
It's the same makers.
2048, no. I think it was just
it's
random people.
The one thing...
Knox, answer me. Is it the same makers?
This is your dad speaking.
The one thing I will say about it... No, it isn't the same makers. But...
Okay.
With 2048, it got bigger for some reason. And so on the internet, there's a bunch of versions.
Yeah.
But instead of using numbers, like instead of having twos to turn to fours and so on, you know what numbers are. it'll use like...
Lighting, maths, is there anything you can't do?
There's one that uses like custom GIFs. So there's one of like all these different Nick Cage faces. And if you've got to match them up. There's a lot of porn ones.
I did not know that.
Yep, you can play Pawn 2048 if you want to.
I can play Pawn 24/7. If
now
I want.
That is good comedy.
Good That's night, a man off an hour's drive at 8 a.m.
Like a normal person doing a commute.
Threes, though, threes is like, yeah, it's something where I there's a, generally for me at least a pretty limited lifespan on the iPhone.
Yep.
On the iPhone game, but threes is something where I won't play for like 8 months, and then all of a sudden I'll just be like, you know, just on the tram, like, because I don't really play games that much. I just listen to music, but I'll just be bored of everything that's on the iPhone. Whoa. God, fucking hell. And I'll just go, oh, threes, I'll just dip in. And then all of a sudden, I'm back in and I'm playing every spare moment at home.
What is your highest little card you've gotten to?
That's it. I'm not even that good at it.
Yeah, same.
I think probably, what's after 192?
Is it three something? Double that.
Yeah.
What's double that? 388?
Yeah.
Is that double 192? No, 384.
384.
I reckon that bitch just then.
Welcome to basic math.
I reckon that bitch just then was really fun to listen to.
Well, I don't know. It was only like 10 seconds of the podcast, or maybe double that. I don't know what's double that.
God, 12?
24/7 porn.
No,
but that, like, that's me with video games nonstop. Like, I like them in spite of that. I'm not good at them. I'm really not good at games at all. Yeah. Like, for the amount of time that I've sunk into them.
Yeah.
It's like that old, is it a Rodney Dangerfield joke? Or maybe it's Bob Hope?
Christ.
Where he goes, I get no respect. It's like that. No, it's the one of, like, golf and sex are the only things you can enjoy without being good at them. But you can have video games. If Rodney Dangerfield had been alive today. Maybe he'd have added video games.
Imagine Rodney Dangerfield's take on the NX. That would have been something. That wouldn't be. You know how they've got like, they decided to get Dame Edna to be the face of drumsticks?
Wait, when the fuck was that?
Like, as recently, like they put out two new flavors of drumstick. They have a Jimmy Barnes one.
No, possums. You want some ice cream?
Yeah. I ate the Jimmy Barnes one.
Yeah, and
pretty
there's,
good.
A, there's a Dame Edna one as well. It's like Lamington flavored. And she's like on billboard ads and stuff.
That's weird.
At tram stops.
I wouldn't have thought Dame Edna would hold any pull these days.
That's, you're correct. That's exactly what
I just
what
summed
makes,
up your story.
Yeah, that's what makes it so funny. Yeah. But that's the world we live in. If Dangerfield was around, hey, even now he's not.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll just drag his corpse.
Hologram. Hologram.
Like,
hologram.
Yeah, one of those Tupac ones. Go like, whoa, the Wii U gets no respect for the NX. I could do a bad Rodney Dangerfield.
Imagine a hologram concert of Rodney Dangerfield where they like updated his material.
Imagine
Dangerfield's take on what it's like to be a hologram.
That would be
gnarly stuff.
Oh, I'm a hologram. I get no respect. I don't know a huge amount of Rodney Dangerfield's material.
Yeah, he seems like he doesn't get a lot of respect.
You don't seem to know two bits of Rodney Dangerfield. You're limited to exclusively one.
Yeah.
Which isn't even really a bit of his material. It's just one thing that he used to say every now and then
just
in his
like
act.
A transitional it's like a catchphrase. Sentence. Yeah, I guess it was a catchphrase.
I know his catchphrase.
He was in Caddyshack. Anything there? Hello? Is there anyone there?
Speaking of puzzle games.
Yes.
It's taken all of my...
effort to match your socks up?
The puzzle game that is life. You don't
want
to match them up.
They're not that different. I don't want anyone thinking that, like... I mean, they are two different colours, sort of, but like...
Okay, so the toes on one are red, on the other they're yellow.
Yeah.
But then the heel,
and then the heels
on
opposite.
Opposite.
Oh,
but then one of them
that
has
sort of goes together, doesn't it? Is it cassette tapes?
Yeah, look at them.
Yeah, it is cassette tapes.
They're on the sole of his foot.
It really doesn't matter.
That's the angle I'm getting.
If anything, I should have left my shoes on.
And how much were these socks in at Oshkosh B'gosh?
Free if you know how to do it. So I have spent all week.
But you don't want your socks to match up because then your feet will disappear.
Very good.
Yes. Comedy is very easy.
The Witness came out last week, and I've had work to do, so it's taken all of my fucking power to not buy that. But I've watched a few
playthroughs.
Just like video reviews more.
Oh yeah,
because like I thought it looked interesting beforehand, but it's getting real good feedback.
Yep.
If you like puzzle games, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's apparently fucking dozens of hours long.
It looks amazing and the puzzles look fun.
Yeah.
And this ties into a scoop that I told you guys before the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I think this week is the week that I go in on a PS4.
Yep. Exciting.
Wow.
You're finally going to be a big boy.
Yeah, me and my housemate, I think, are going to go Harvey's. That's
the
plan.
Yeah.
And
that'll be a good one. Do you ever get motion sickness?
Mm-mm.
Because apparently people have been getting motion sickness from it.
Yeah, I've read that. That's kind of why I want to get it, just to see if I get motion sickness. I've never had it in any
just
form.
Get like, on a bus.
Really?
Reading in the car, always been able to do it. You know, when you're a kid and you have friends who couldn't do it. I've never had anything.
I was one of those friends.
I used to be able to do it, and I've gotten older, and I've gotten sicker.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I think it's because Knox and I both need glasses. I think that could be something to
maybe
do with it.
Yeah. I wear contact lenses, though. They're both not matching. They're different prescriptions.
One of them's got cassette tapes printed on it.
But this does look... This is crazy how it seems to be making everyone sick.
Yeah.
Like everyone.
Yeah.
Like that Pokemon episode that gave everyone seizures.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really strange because I've never gotten motion sickness from a video game, though. Like, I get it in a car and, like, sometimes on boats, that sort of stuff. But,
sometimes 3D movies go a bit weird for me.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people were feeling sick during Avatar.
There's something about, like, the inertia.
I think that was more to do with the script than
get no respect.
Hey, I'm a blue alien here.
Like, your brain is so finely tuned to how it's meant to move that, like, if shit is off, this is going to be a big problem when VR starts being more of a thing as well. Because, like, if the movement in that is, like, a millisecond off from what your brain expects it to be.
Yeah.
Like, apparently people have just been vomiting immediately.
Oh, really?
Just, like, spitting their head and going... Yeah. And you, like, can only move a certain speed. You can't go too fast.
See, this is great. I love this, that we're now getting to the point with technology where we're just pushing it beyond our own limitations.
Yeah, our reach
to the point where it is making us sick.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so funny. Yeah. People just can't handle it.
I agree, and I want to see all those YouTube videos of people... people will make things that are deliberately designed to make you throw up.
Yeah.
And I want to see, like, the prank videos where they go like, oh, hey, man, do you want to try my VR thing? And then, like,
they vomit all over this $3,000 setup.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be the new online gaming prank. You know how, like, people... What is it where people, like, call SWAT teams?
Oh,
yeah. Thing that people
it's called
were doing?
Swatting. That's swatting, the most fucked up thing.
Yeah, so for people who don't know what it is, it's like when you're playing someone online...
Like,
if you just want to fuck this shit up.
People who are streaming, it happens to a lot. Yeah.
Well, you call, like, the FBI and go...
Say, like, there's a guy with a gun in that house.
Yeah.
He's got hostages.
Yeah. And then you watch the cops turn up and fuck him up.
It's so fucked up.
It'll be the new online prank where it'll be, like, you work out in a game, like, a thing that triggers most people.
Yeah.
And you just, like, run up in front of someone and just, like, you get your character to fucking spin around or whatever and then all
like
of a sudden...
Like the brown noise.
Yeah.
Which has really gone out of pop culture, unfortunately.
I really want... I'll get into voice chat if it means I'm just going to be constantly hearing people spew. When I'm playing Uncharted against a monologue.
But what if someone is like playing the brown note tone over the voice chat?
Oh.
And everyone, that would be an amazing way to win if you just blasted everybody with a brown note.
And you just like have to be someone who can play through shitting yourself.
Yeah. You've is just that, practiced it enough.
That's those game tournaments. That's how they go next level with it.
Yeah.
Well, I guess some people do. Like people who like play online, like those massively multiplayer things and stuff.
Yeah.
They fuck themselves up playing them. Like there are all those stories of people like sitting there with catheters in and stuff just because they don't want to get up and like just dying in internet cafes because they've been there for 3 days.
Yeah. Can we quickly just, speaking of online gaming, I know this is like we don't want our content to just be about someone else's content, but I discovered something this week that is so good.
Oh,
please look up Daniel from SL on YouTube.
Yep.
He's a guy who runs around playing Second Life, Days and Rust. All games that look basic as all shit.
Yes.
And he basically just goes around terrorizing people.
Yeah.
But
just psychologically torturing people.
Fucks with people real hard, but is just very, very funny in the way that he does it because he just has this very, like, baritone voice.
Yeah, very
and
dry.
Very dry. Like, comes across like an actual psychopath.
Yeah.
Like, does a whole bunch of things where someone tells him they're just going to hop out of the game and respawn because they need to restart their computer. So while they're gone, he covers the room in bear traps so that when they respawn, like, their legs are broken and they can't move. And then he stands outside the room, like, looking through a window. People come past and he goes, hey, this guy tried to kill me, so I locked him in this room. And then they freak out. Anyway, very funny. Look him up. Go through all his videos because it's... What some of the funniest stuff I've seen in a long time. No, the end.
Good night, everybody.
I'd also be interested to hear from anyone who listens who plays Days or Rust.
Yeah. Oh, I've played Rust.
Have you really?
Yeah.
DayZ.
It's DayZ. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
zombie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, no, I get it.
Like Z for zombie.
Yeah.
Well, Z. In
Z for zombie.
Z is
Rust
zombie.
Is what it looks like.
What do you guys say? H or H?
H. I say H.
I say
and
H
anyone
as
who
well.
Says H is H. wrong.
They're being phased out, aren't they? You don't really meet. You don't meet
H's.
Yeah.
It was always those grotty 90s kids who said H.
Yep.
You know the time?
From the wrong side of the tracks.
Yeah. They're always wearing singlets when they're not meant to.
Yes. Yeah.
Bastards.
Well, shout out to any of our listeners. No, none of our listeners.
No.
They're all nerds.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, yeah. Hey, nerds. Oh, I just, like, doesn't matter.
No, what? Come Knox, on.
You can see him, his run-up
in his face.
And then he just pulled out.
Yeah. You bet, baby. Oh, I'm back.
That was another example of it.
Rust.
You played Rust.
You just kind of spawn in the middle of nowhere with nothing. You might have, like, an axe. Like, very basic tool. Mm. And then you just, like, walking around and you're like,
Speaking of basic tools, tell us more, Ben.
Oh, I've been got. I've been had. I've been lampooned. But, yeah, you just, like, hit a tree.
I said that about 20 minutes later than you said basic tool as well, by the way. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you were in the car.
Can you edit that so
home.
It was a little snappier?
You interrupted my explanation.
Yeah, keep going.
But, yeah, you.
But also, no, keep going.
You hit a tree and you get wood. And so you use the wood to build a shack.
Speaking of getting wood. there's not like a story or missions that you can go do.
It's the most it's the most authentic open world RPG kind of thing. It's like it's just a world and you can build stuff and light
and
fires. And
from watching this guy's videos, I get the impression DayZ is kind of the same thing.
Yeah, but it's in a zombie outbreak. It's a little bit more guided.
Yeah, but there's no missions. It's just like you're running around.
Survival. It's a survival sim. Yeah.
Which, I also don't get them. Like, I want a little bit of structure. I want something to do. I want a goal. Like, it's very difficult. This is going to sound really sad, but it's difficult for me to make my own fun. Do you know what I mean? Like, I need...
Wow, that was sad.
I felt it.
Yep.
I felt the crushing sadness deep inside me.
But you know what I mean. Like, I need something to do. I need someone to tell me where to go.
Are you crying?
I need some direction. And I need a shoulder to lean on.
All right, well, goodbye, everyone.
But, like, it's very popular with kids as well, like all the Minecraft crew. Minecraft crew. Shout-outs to the Minecraft crew, Minecraft Massive.
Did you ever play State of Decay?
I did not.
It's like your DayZ, but it has a bit more structure. And it's got, like, non-player characters. It's got a kind of a story.
Right.
It's like a Walking Dead game where you kind of make your own story.
Yeah.
But there are characters and people to interact with and stuff like
that. Sure. And that's like all the Grand Theft Auto games and stuff are sort of like that. And like I'm fine with those level of thing. But when it's just purely like you get dropped in somewhere, and maybe it's because like it genuinely is popular with the kids because they have a better imagination. Like I remember when I used to play like Ocarina of Time when I was a kid, I'd make up dumb things that like Link was doing that weren't any part of the game. Well, like he's coming back from the shops and like he's old now and he's his dad and he's, you know, he's dad. He's dad.
Yeah.
He's, look at those socks. They're the same color.
Yep.
He's brought them just for me.
Good. Good stuff.
No, you know what I mean.
He like, sees me in the village and he's like, wow, you look really nice today, Adam. Takes me into the tavern and we have a few drinks and then all of a sudden.
It's not only my socks that are off.
Well, don't make it weird. It's just a beautiful bonding moment between a video game song, a video game fight.
Hey, I'll put this out. If we get to a point where we get enough listeners where we think it's viable for us to do a live show, one of the segments in it is we all have to write erotic fan fiction about us and a video game character.
Shotgun Sonic.
Wait, should we write it for each other?
Each other,
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
Shotgun writing about Adam fucking Sonic.
That's pretty good. I'll also write about me fucking Sonic, but that's just for me. And then I'll do...
All the listeners, come to this live show with fan fiction that you've written about Adam Sonic. And we'll go round robin style.
Oh, please. I can only get so erect.
Hey, speaking of Sonic...
Oh, yeah?
Were we done with that line of...
Oh, no. Yeah, I guess so. I think that's why kids like them, because they got better imaginations.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. There was a story that is, weirdly enough, I'd read a while ago. Mm. I don't quite know why it got renewed traction this week.
Yeah.
But I sent you guys the link about this long-standing rumour that old wacko Jacko, Michael Jackson, composed all the music in Sonic 3.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, some other part of it came out or something in the last week.
I don't know what the new...
Some NDA was lifted, like a non-disclosure thing, I believe.
Because there was... Because, I remember seeing a YouTube video like, 7 years ago or something that was like, look how similar this is, and comparing like bits of, you know, Michael Jackson's music of the time and all this
stuff.
Yeah. And it's sort of like, yeah, but that, I mean, he's the biggest pop star in the world. So they could have just been, you know, like
taking inspiration from him.
Aping
yeah.
him. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Like, yeah, Doom sounds like fucking Metallica or whatever. Because yeah. they did yeah. like that stuff.
Yeah. yeah. But it's one of the great video game conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
Well,
I love to believe that it's true.
I think the thing that happened this week was that they proved that it was the case.
Or isn't it a thing where I think the thing was like one of Jackson's collab, like big frequent collaborators at the
Quincy
time.
Quincy Jones or someone?
Not Quincy Jones.
Was it Quincy?
A producer or something that worked with him.
Ah, Quincy Jones.
It's not Quincy Jones. But
Rick Rubin.
It's what? Why are you doing this?
Phil Spector.
I'm so mad right now.
Calm down, Dad.
I think he's like listed in the credits. This guy who people knew worked with Jackson. Quincy Jones, that's who it is. But so people go, well, why would he just be involved by himself?
Yeah.
Like Jacko must have been involved. Oops. And the other theory is, well, yeah, they would have gotten rid of it because it's like being marketed at kids and it's around the time that he got done for all that, you know, all that dodgy stuff he did. Do you think he did that, by the way?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm looking this up because I actually want to get to the bottom of this. I'm still reading the article. I shouldn't have brought it up.
I'll fill time. By the way, I went back and I had a big Jackson listening sesh the other day.
Oh, yeah?
So good.
Yep.
What I like is I like the gradual progression of the real, what we now know as like the stereotypical Michael Jackson impression.
Yep, yep.
I love the gradual way that kind of filters into his music.
Yeah.
Like I went kind of chronologically and there's the first, I think it's like one of the songs on Thriller.
Yeah.
Or maybe it might even, I think it's just Thriller. Where just like all of a sudden in a song, he's just like, like yeah. I just like imagining being a big Jacko fan for a long time and just getting to that point of that song and going like,
what's so funny?
Wait, what was that? It's just like a quick, it's like a, oh, just going, wait, why did he just do that?
Yeah.
What the hell was that?
Yeah,
cut to 10 minutes later and he's doing it every 5 seconds in every song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's like he got some inspiration from the disco era or something and he's just cutting loose.
Yeah.
He's just cutting loose.
Well, because they started off sounding quite natural. Like in Billie Jean, the Who's, I can't do it as high as Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Very few can.
I'm certainly getting close.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're quite normal ones and it sounds like he's just like screaming in like frustration at Billie Jean lying to him that sort of stuff. And then they started getting more ridiculous.
Even
because his songwriting got more ridiculous where he was like, hey, fucking save the world. Every child is
black
a miracle or whatever.
Yeah. At the start of Can't Stop Till You Get Enough, he just goes, whoo! And it's like exciting because the song's starting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But then when he's doing it after
Shamona.
Shamona.
I think this is my absolute all-time favorite intro to any song is the first song on Off the Wall.
Off the Wall? No.
No. Don't Stop Till You Get Enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's just him going, you make me feel like, you make me feel like, ooh! Just this big stuttering build-up and then he just fucking lets rip so good. What do you think is the best Michael Jackson? Like, not your favourite, like the biggest. Like the what do you reckon is his biggest song? Like the song that most people would associate in there. Like
probably
his calling card song.
Probably Thriller.
Really?
Yeah.
Nah, I reckon Billie Jean still. That was his first massive one, and then I think it stayed.
I think that would be the song that people most associate.
Really?
With him, maybe.
Yeah.
That'll beat it. Maybe.
Smooth Criminal. Alien Ant Farm did a lot for that.
Yeah.
I did a series of tweets about this the other day, so apologies if you're dipping in on the pod and the tweet feed, because you're getting some lukewarm content right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
shit.
But it's so funny to me that Thriller is a hit, just listening back to it the other day. Like, it's this worldwide smash, and he's just singing about fucking werewolves and stuff. Like, isn't that weird that was
Hey, the Monster Mash was a hit.
Yeah, I know.
There were Werewolves of London. I guess that's a different type of song. It's not like a gimmicky one, but there were a lot of werewolf songs for a while there.
Yeah, yeah. But it's so weird. It's like, what's the most universal? We really want to make sure that this is. And especially when you keep in mind that that's him going into the studio going, I want to make the biggest selling album of all time.
Yeah.
I want this to be So we really need to tap into something universal about the human condition.
Sounds great, Michael. Everyone. Do you want to sing about love? What do you want? Do you want to sing about hope?
Title track, Zombies.
Yeah, no, it's just like him going, I just don't know. What's something that everyone... And then it's like a little like flash of light in the corner and everyone in the room goes, oh, God, a ghost! And he's like, I've got it. We all just freaked out at that. We've got 8 people in here, all from different backgrounds, ages, and yeah.
Oh, man. This song is really bad, Michael. Yeah! Yeah!
Well, that's the other thing. In listening to that chronologically, you go through Thriller and you're like, what a fucking ride. Like, this is just hit after... And then it's like, suddenly he's like the biggest thing in the world, huge, huge star. And then, you know, Bad's coming out and you're like, God, I cannot wait to get my hand on Bad. And then I just like listen to the title track of Bad, the first song on the album, hype of like years and waiting for this is going to be as big as the last one. I mean, it's just a guy singing about how he's bad. You're like, man. I'm bad, I'm bad, I'm really, really bad. Fucking bring back the werewolves.
You know, Shimona. So, Brad Buxer is the guy's name. He had a songwriter credit on Sonic 3.
Yeah.
He was working with Jackson on music of his own, confirmed by Huffington Post that they were working together. He was working on Dangerous. So, 41 tracks were recorded for Sonic.
Yeah.
We did use a lot of samples made from Jackson's beatboxing, he added. We chopped this up and used it in cues. Of course, there are a lot of Michael hee-hees and other signature Michaelisms. So original Sonic 3, you were running along the fucking thing and Michael Jackson every now and again would go, a hee-hee, which is fucking amazing. Very high profile studio. It would
be good if they'd replace the noise that the rings make when you pick them up. Yeah. It's just a hee-hee. It's non-stop.
You get a new live Shimona. So Michael wanted his name taken off the credits if they couldn't get it to sound better because they had to compress it down to 16-bit audio.
Right.
So he wanted the full, proper, big audio. I need them to hear the hee-hees. Oh. Man.
Wow. That's better than your Rodney Dangerfield.
Nah, that was so good. I love that a lot. That would be better. Like, if Sonic's voice was just Michael Jackson, that would be better than that fucking weird voice they've ended up using.
Yeah, like the fucking dumb attitude voice of like, hey, I'm Sonic. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Like,
it'd be better if he was like, come on, Tails. We've got to go beat...
Come on, Bubbles.
We've got to go beat Dr. Eggman.
There's animals out there that need to be saved.
And you got
to
go fast.
Man, that Adam Knox is real good looking. I don't know.
In my fanfic, that's how he's going to talk.
Could see something happen between the two of us.
So apparently the songs
like to
that,
ring.
That are in Sonic 3 now are like not the original ones that were
Adam,
recorded.
Adam, did you hear? I said I'd like to collect his ring.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
They're not the original songs.
Good boy.
They're reworked versions of those, though. So that's why they sound a bit Michael Jackson-y.
But he's still...
Case closed.
He's in the mix.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Detective Pikachu has solved the case.
Well, that's what I was going to bring up as well.
What?
Because speaking
it's
of...
almost like I thought that was going to happen and did a great segue.
Speaking of weird, weird character voices.
Yeah.
Nintendo, our old mates down at Nintendo, the fucking boffins in there.
Yeah.
Nintendo HQ.
Oh, one of those eggheads knocked up this time.
The fucking brains trust down there. They've released a trailer for a new 3DS game called Detective Pikachu, where you play as Pikachu, who's wearing a little Sherlock Holmes hat.
Yep.
And it seems like it's hard to tell from the trailer what the gameplay actually is.
Yeah.
But it seems like you just run around solving crimes. And Pikachu talks, and not in the Pika Pika way that we're all used to. Like, he's got this... It's all in Japanese.
But he's got like a... Oh, this crime.
Yeah.
This crime's too much.
Yeah. This sounds like Japanese Knox.
What the fuck is that going to be?
Yeah.
It's
like,
someone's... this Jigglypuff's been raped. Like, well, this... what kind of fucked up game is Detective Pikachu going to be?
Yeah. That.
Episode 1. This Jigglypuff. Fucking hell.
Oh.
But it's weird when they, like, you know, people are campaigning them to give Link a voice and they're like,
now fuck you.
Let's make Pikachu fucking talk like an old 40-year-old
Japanese.
Doesn't even sound
like
cute.
So I don't know if you saw this thing, but there's gonna be an English translation and there's a petition
to get Danny DeVito.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. That I'm on board with.
How great would that be?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. I gotta say though, I kind of like it. Like it.
I think
first,
it's cool.
First watch through, I was like, "What in the fuck are they doing?" But now I'm like, "I reckon I'll play that."
Man,
like,
they should do that sort of weird, dumb shit with Pokemon. Yeah. Like, why
if it's
not?
A good Professor Layton style,
I'm assuming that's what it'll be. Sort of like a you know, hunt for the
Red October
thing in the. It'll be Hunt for Red October 2, Detective Pikachu.
I've got to go back and finish that Professor Layton game on 3DS, I've just remembered. Real good.
I've never played any of them.
They're really, really good.
They're just puzzle games. I didn't like the story in the first one, really. I thought it was a bit dumb and annoying.
The one on 3DS, I just like the style of it is really cool, really charming. Yeah. Like, the music's really nice. Professor Layton's little kid that he hangs around with, a bit weird.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very cool. Professor Layton's voice is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, come on, we gotta go. This mystery.
Man, I don't know how to rearrange these matchsticks. Someone's gotta help me out.
Kind of why I want to get into The Witness. Like, the sense of satisfaction of finishing a bit in a puzzle game is just second to none.
Yeah,
so
it's insane. My favorite.
Almost as good as Coming.
Boy, well, I have no idea what that's like. So
someday.
I don't even understand what you're talking about. And honestly, I feel a little scared. But my favorite like puzzle game I've ever played was Picross 3D.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that is good. Like, have you ever played that?
No, I haven't.
You get you start with this big block, like a big sort of Rubik's Cube looking thing, but with like maybe 50 blocks a side or whatever. Or fewer, and each some of the like edges, some of the edges of the box have
Knox's
a number
out
on
loud autocorrect is dry.
Some of the edges of the cowboy, I mean, of the cube, have like little. Some of the panels have numbers written on them, and that'll indicate how many in that row or column have to remain.
Right.
So it'll say like three, but you don't know which three. You've got to go and use every axis to figure out, and you'll like chip away at this block, and it'll give you like a cool little statue afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
That'll then start to animate.
What was this on?
On the DS, on the original one.
Yeah, yeah. Cool.
It's real good. If you can find it cheap, I recommend playing that because it's got hundreds of puzzles in it, and then you could download about the same amount again.
Yeah.
And
it's cool that new puzzle games are still coming out when you would think, surely we've done everything that we can do with just cubes on a flat screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're still finding.
Well, there's a fucking iPad and I hope iPhone version of The Witness coming.
Oh,
which
right.
I think might be. I kind of want to get that because you just like.
On the go, way better for it.
So good. And like, although the way that those puzzles are, you just trace, you know, a line through a thing.
Mm. Yeah.
So on a phone, that'd be. Very simple.
Yep.
Did you guys ever play, and I can't remember if I've talked about it before, on this Tetrisphere on the Nintendo 64?
Yeah.
That was great.
I remember not liking it, but
really?
I was very young and very stupid.
I liked
running
it a
around.
Lot.
I preferred, I couldn't make any of them like a surrogate father figure.
The little
just shoehorn that reference in there, didn't you?
Yeah, I really, really put that one in. Like a L block when it should have been a square.
Just quickly go fuck yourself. Anyway, Tetrisphere, the little characters in it were really cool. Like, there was a little mascot for each kind of world. Like, I remember the design being really cool.
Yeah.
And this is what I sort of wanted to get into with the Sonic stuff. The soundtrack in it is amazing in Tetrisphere. Go look it up on YouTube. It's like all these, like, it's really weird for what is essentially a kid's Nintendo puzzle game.
Yeah.
It's got this, like, real deep house kind of, like, trance soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's the 64 had some. Here's music I'd recommend looking up. Tetrisphere, Forsaken. Did you ever play Forsaken?
No, that was that like shooter.
It was
shooter.
Like GoldenEye but on flying motorbikes. And the soundtrack is really cool.
Mm.
Really cool game. I mean, like Blast Corps had a great soundtrack.
Yep.
I'd never listened to it outside of the game. I'd always liked the music of Banjo-Kazooie, how it would sort of change between the areas that you went between.
Yep.
The Donkey Kong Country games always had sweet soundtrack in them. Rare really gave a fuck about their music.
It's this guy Grant Kirkhope who does that, and he is working on that ukulele game.
He's back from
yeah. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, soundtracks, there's some good. There were some good
the
ones.
The 90s had, like, a lot of the original PlayStation soundtracks were real good. Like, I remember the Wipeout games, same sort of thing where it was like 90s techno-y, and they were fucking awesome.
They were very specifically not for kids. Like, the PlayStation was being like, we're a legitimate entertainment thing.
Yeah. We've got ads in nightclubs, man.
Yeah.
There was a game on the Nintendo 64 called San Francisco Rush, which was kind of like a racing game where you could, like, super fuck up your car. And it was like one of the first kind of things of that where cars take actual damage.
Yep.
And you can be driving around in a car that's just like got, you know, smoke billowing. Like you've got your bonnet's gone. You get smoke billowing out of it. Which you look back on it, it felt very like open at the time. Before,
right.
This is before open world games. It felt very free.
Yeah.
And you look back on it now, it's very constricted. But there was an area that you could find where there was like on one track where you could veer off to the side and you would go down a hill and suddenly you're in a cave that's like a stunt course where there's just like jumps and like all these ramps and like you could then do a cheat where you turn off the timer for the race. So you're just in there on free play, going wild.
Did you ever play, there was a PC game, I think it was called Stunt. And it was...
I remember, but I never played it.
Yeah, you just built your own stunt course.
Yeah,
and
sick.
Raced it. It was really cool.
Yeah.
And I think, again, it had like actual damage. Like a lot of early games, like there was one just called Demolition Derby.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, it was like a ring of cars and a dirt track and you just smashed and that was like realistic damage.
The Burnout
GTA.
The Burnout games,
I loved the Burnout games.
But before GTA where you could really go wild, like this San Francisco Rush game, me and Pete, get well soon, we rigged up a VCR into the like output of TV and made like a compilation video of us in this like... stunt track in San Francisco Rush. But also, again, look it up. The music of San Francisco Rush has some of the most fucking bizarre tracks in it I've ever heard. There's one that is like a guy making weird noises and he's like, you know that thing of like, what is it that thing you can put into keyboards where you just go, what? And
like then
you
can vocoder, like... vocoder, I think it's called.
But then you can kind of like play... You can just sample, so go, there's heaps of that in there.
Fuck.
It's fucking bizarre.
Michael Jackson originally recorded the soundtrack to San Francisco Rush.
Oh, yeah? What did it sound like?
Well, doesn't matter.
I set the ball up on the tee.
And I walked away.
The comedy of Adam Knox.
All right, what have you been doing this week, Ben?
I gave Oxenfree a go.
We were talking about this last week.
Yes, and I, much like Knox, I had a look and I walked away.
Were you laughing at the noise we made at the start of that story?
Yeah, we both went,
Yeah, it was like someone had just bought out an opera to show us all the great features of it.
So I played the first like 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it did not grab me.
Really?
What sort of game is it? I don't really know anything about it.
It's a 2D game, stylized characters, kind of art, like very stylized art design. The start is you're on a boat going to an island with your friend and your new stepbrother.
Okay.
And you're a chick called Alex. And your friend's like, yeah, we're going to have a party on the island. It's going to be great. We're going to meet some friends. And you kind of... Your dialogue options pop up in little speech bubbles and you can click one or click the other or neither and they just go away.
Yeah.
And they just act like you decided not to talk.
That was sort of like, I think that was in The Walking Dead as well. You'd sometimes get like a timer.
Yes.
That would go
down.
But
this is much more subtle. There's no timer. It's just a visual cue.
Okay.
So you can talk. You can kind of decide what kind of person you are within a kind of narrow scope.
Whoa. That sounds tough.
And then you get to the island. Not many people have turned up for this party.
Oh, no.
And then, and you've got a radio, and then all of a sudden, your friend is like, hey, let's go over to this cave and check this out. And you tune your radio to a certain frequency, and then like a light comes out of nowhere.
Right.
And it's like, oh, that's spooky. And then you go into the cave, and weird stuff starts happening.
Okay.
But the
what
story.
Kind of weird stuff happened to you in the cave, Ben?
I can't remember. It's almost like I repressed the memory. Maybe if you tune the radio to a certain frequency. It just didn't grab me. The storytelling was not engaging enough.
Right.
The gameplay is like a lot of these kind of games, like The Walking Dead or Heavy Rain, just awkward and not fun.
Yeah,
you know, it's just like you just walk back and forth and click stuff. Like
it's always...
Back in the day of LucasArts adventure games, it was really engaging and funny and stuff.
Yeah.
None of these have that.
I feel like for me, like what I loved about those LucasArts games in particular, Sam and Max Hit the Road, maybe my top five of all time.
Yep.
You would solve a puzzle and it would be like... Have you guys both... either of you played?
I played it back in the day.
Right.
Yeah. I've not played Sam and Max.
You'd be there and you'd be trying to work out, like, what am I meant to do here?
Yeah.
And you would suddenly put the right thing in the right place.
Yeah.
And it would almost be like a Rube Goldberg machine where this huge thing would go off. And, like, I remember that you're in the tar pits and there's, like, a dinosaur that you've got to turn on in some way, and it then scares a guy who's on a ledge and he then falls off, and then suddenly someone else can get... It's like, it plays a cutscene that's, like, a minute long, that's very funny and it's action-packed.
Yeah.
And you're going, oh, I made that happen. That's so cool.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've played a couple of those little Walking Dead things where it's just like you're just going, pull out your knife, and then you just kind of walk. It's just like...
It's just your click... It's like that... What's that arcade game, Dragon's Quest or something?
Dragon's Lair.
Dragon's Lair?
That was like a Laserdisc game, and you just push left when the thing showed up, and if you didn't, you'd die.
It was a story with QuickTime events.
I mean... Yeah. To, in, like, maybe defense of this game, I don't know if this is the case with it, but, like, I know with The Walking Dead, a lot of the payoff was much later on.
Sure,
because you were making the decisions and the game would remember them and they wouldn't really come back for a while.
Totally.
Which is maybe bad because,
but hey, man, it's 2015, you know, you've got to keep it snap.
You idiot.
That's how quick time's moving. You don't even have time to remember what year it is.
So we recorded this last year, we should say. For
why would we be saying last year while we're recording it?
We recorded this in 2014.
Yeah.
It's currently 2015. No, that don't make any sense.
Nope. But so, yes, like those kind of mechanics where you make choices and they pay off are great in games where the game is fun.
Yeah.
Like it's got to be like a Mass Effect kind of game where it's fun and you get payoff for your choices.
Totally. Those slow burn type things are very difficult to keep going. Like, I can't remember if I talked about...
Just quickly, like if all you're doing is just like pushing a thing and it's then going to pay off way later, it's like...
The story's got to be great.
And also, it's like, well, why not just watch that as a thing?
Yep.
Like, that's movies stuff happens at the start and then pays off later.
Movies,
like, if all you're doing is just clicking a thing, like, if there's not that sense of exploration of, like, having to get a thing out
of
the drawer and then use it later on this guy. Like,
why not write the story, get these animators and make a short film?
Yeah.
Like, that,
I can't remember if I talked about Undertale.
Yes, you did. I think you did.
On this?
I think I talked... Yeah, I played, like, the demo, and I've been meaning to go back in on the full thing.
I played about maybe an hour and a half of it, something like that.
Yeah.
And really lost interest.
Really?
Right.
Like, there were bits of it that were funny, and, like, there were a couple of, like, visual jokes that were genuinely funny. But it was the same sort of thing where, like, what I was doing minute to minute wasn't fun.
Yeah.
So as much as, like, I kind of wanted to see what would happen in the future... it just blech. It wasn't fun to go with at the time.
In the which I haven't touched on for quite a few weeks now, the ongoing fluctuating saga of me with Earthbound.
Yeah.
Where I was kind of at the start, I was like, meh, and then I played it heaps on a plane and I got really into it.
Yeah.
And there was just this boss where I couldn't beat it and I just kind of, I should give it another go, but it just, especially in RPGs, it's just gets to a point where when all you're doing is just having to work out, like, just build your stats up and just hit attack and then replenish your health in the right order.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not fun and it's like, I just want to get to the next bit and see what happens.
Totally.
And it's like, this isn't fun.
When there's no momentum to those sort of games, it really makes visible how little there actually is to them.
Yeah.
Yep.
You really start being aware of like, oh man, I'm just hitting fucking attack. Like, I'm like, not
totally
doing shit.
Like, I have that in boss fights with platformers, like the Donkey Kong, the new Donkey Kong Country games.
Yep.
The one on the Wii U is fucking brutal, especially the bosses.
Yeah.
But there's a sense of like once you finally do it of satisfaction.
Well, there's some skill involved in that because it's the sort of game where
you've jumped at the right time. But especially in turn-based stuff, all it is just hammering attack.
And if you're not moving on, then
And it can it doesn't just happen in like 2D 8-bit retro throwback games or platformers. Dragon Age Inquisition had the exact same thing. Like, I really liked Dragon Age Origins.
Mm.
Didn't love Dragon Age 2, but Inquisition, it set up, like, it had all the mechanics of the previous games, but then no drive, no momentum, really. You just very obviously were just walking into a swamp and hitting something over and over again.
Yeah.
Totally, and you've got to get that. That's why I like The Witcher, is because, like, all of the things you were doing were like, probably similar. And if you stripped it back, then look at what you were actually doing in terms of it being a game. Probably not that complex.
Yeah.
But the story around it and like the weird characters and all that shit made you forget it.
Absolutely.
Like, this idea that like games have to be a full-on challenge because people are so – there are gamers that are so hardcore that know – you know, they play so much. Like, I don't care if I – like, if something doesn't take me that long to finish or if it's easy to finish. Like, it's about the experience. Like, the Uncharted games is, like, one of the few games that I've finished all the way through.
Yeah.
And there were bits that took me a couple of days of, like, trying again and again and again. But – I was able to finish it and I felt like I had a full experience. It wasn't about, wow, this is really hard. It's whooping my ass.
Yeah.
It was about getting up to a new set piece and going, fucking hell, this is so cool. Like, this is so immersive and fun. I'm on a building that's collapsing and I still have to try and kill people while I'm like falling off this building. Like, that's so cool.
Yeah. Totally.
Like, not just like.
You want to be like an action hero and you want it to feel like that.
Yeah.
Not like some dickhead who keeps getting shot every time he gets off the boat at Normandy.
Like, yeah, we'll just have bits where there's like a million. Million cunts and you just can't clear it.
Speaking of sorry, clearing
that's
a million
how they
cunts.
Designed it. All right, listen, guys, we haven't finished this part yet, but what I want is a million cunts coming right at you. That's because, like, I've really in the last couple of weeks, especially, I've had a lot of stuff to do that's not games, and so I've really been like, when that's happening, I feel guilty.
Yeah.
For like wanting to even do so, if games had the option to just like. Go through them at a quicker pace, like
maybe there have been games with like story mode, and it might even be like Mass Effect 2 or 3.
I don't really remember because I don't generally play stuff like that because I don't know why. Because when I do play something, I like to do it when I have and I know I have enough time, just the constraint of having. I mean, it's almost like the three of us are kind of casual, and also covered. In dirt.
No, I showered this morning.
Not me. I rolled around in my garden.
You rolled around in my dirty water.
What does that mean?
From my shower.
Oh, yeah. I drove out to fucking the middle of nowhere where you live.
Oh, wow.
Sweet burn.
I was going to say the suburb, but then I was like, it's not that big of a suburb.
Yeah.
What if one of the filth goes out there and gets you?
I hope they don't.
No, but yeah, I've said this many times. That's why I love Nintendo stuff because a Mario game, you can pick it up and go. I'll just do a level or two,
or it can be the hardest shit in the world as well. Yeah,
but it's easy. Yeah, to regulate. You can sit there and spend forever trying to get through the whole thing, or you can go Mario Kart. I'll play one cup and then I'll get back to work.
Yeah, totally.
Two girls, one cup.
Oh, you beat me to it.
Not proud of it. I knew if I didn't, someone else would.
Yeah. Something I learned this week about our show.
Oh, yeah?
About our listener base. Upon reflection after this episode, maybe not the best thing to find out. We have a lot of young listeners.
Do we?
Really?
Yeah.
Huh, how young?
Well, based on some of the... That kind of... Yeah, kind of underlines the... Like,
kind of wacko jacko young, we talking?
Yeah, I think
Man,
so.
Man, by the way, I meant to say this before. I haven't heard the words wacko jacko.
Isn't it like, a delight to hear them?
Oh, it's been so
like,
long.
To me, this is how I've thought of it mentally. Like, he passed away and people kind of went, okay, bit of respect.
He's Michael Jackson.
For the legacy and, you know, everything that he did and he accomplished. And it's very sad in the way that he's died because he really did deteriorate at the end.
Yep.
I feel like it was almost like the statute of limitations where I was just thinking about it in my head the other way, and I was like, it feels okay to call him Wacko Jacko now.
Yeah, because it was weird how, like, when he died, it was like, famed musician Michael Jackson has died at age, whatever he was, 52 or something crazy.
Yeah.
He sounded so sad.
Yeah.
But, like, all those same reporters, like, 3 years earlier, would be going, like, Wacko Jacko's done it again.
Yeah.
This fucking lunatic. I hope he's done soon.
Oh. Famed pedophile Michael Jackson dead at 52. Yeah.
Bizarre baby hanger.
I mean, that was the thing. That was the shame was that, like,
how big was 2006, by the way, for putting babies in weird positions? Like,
what else you got?
Michael Jackson, Steve Irwin with his kid in front of an alligator.
Oh, yeah.
Big year for dangerous baby tricks.
Would you say there's a bit of a correlation between doing weird shit with your baby, putting your baby in harm's way,
and dying?
Dying eventually.
Oh. I bet everybody who's put their baby in harm's way has eventually died. I bet that
What about God?
Oh, shit.
Fuck.
Mate, ask Nietzsche. He's long gone.
Basically, my point is we have, I think, younger listeners, so let's, none of the swearing, no references to pedophilia.
Yeah, right.
Let's keep it clean.
It's good to bring up as we come into the second hour.
You're
of this
the only
podcast.
Person who said pedophilia as well.
How do you know this, by the way?
Oh, just a couple of bits of the feed whack? Yeah, feed whacko Jacko. No, just a few bits of... A lot of the emails we get seem to come from younger people.
Kids
just
don't use email.
They don't use Twitter because they're not allowed to. So a lot of the Twitter stuff is from like adults, not normal people, adults. Children are abnormal. That's my point.
Yeah. But no, actually, like statistically, there are fewer children than adults, so they are abnormal in the strictest sense.
There you go. But yeah, so I think a lot of the social media interactions are from like Dumb Dumb fans who've come over to the podcast.
What's that?
Like dumb fans. Yeah, like real dumb.
Yeah,
dumbs.
If you don't know that, that's another podcast that I do with that name. That's the most bizarre sentence. Yeah.
But yeah, I think there's a lot of kids that because it's video games.
Yeah, kids
it's
like
their wheelhouse.
Well, you know what? Actually, if I'm going to make use of this,
get us to come to your school and do a talk.
Yeah. On your career choices.
That's a thing that you can actually book me to do. Bookedout.com.au.
All right. That's no a weird plug. Yeah. But I want to make use of this listener base. Then,
yeah.
If any kids do play like Minecraft and Rust and all those sort of games,
yeah.
I want to know what it is about those things that you find so appealing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I genuinely don't understand.
Yep.
None of us seem to.
Let's try and find our youngest listener, and then when we do this live show where we've just done erotic fan fiction about moving Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yep.
We'll get our youngest listener and we'll dangle them off a balcony with the Sonic 3 soundtrack playing in the background.
Perfect.
With a large crocodile also dangled off a nearby balcony. Maybe people would they be young enough that they wouldn't remember Steve Irwin dying?
Quite possibly.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Because his daughter is like 20 now or whatever.
Yeah, I guess, but like.
And she was like a baby when he died.
No, she was like 10 or something.
Well, that's like a baby. I don't know.
My housemate's mum is a teacher of early secondary school.
Yeah.
And apparently, the other day, she had to explain to her class what 9/11 was.
Yeah, well, that makes me feel.
You can't never forget if you'd never remembered.
What a weird note to end the show on.
I guess that makes sense.
Oh, is this the end?
Yes.
This is
the end.
I just got a call from the government. They want us to stop.
But that's crazy, isn't it? Like, that's pretty
weird. I mean, sort of.
It's just time, man.
I know.
It's just how time works.
For sure.
It's a flat circle.
I mean, but it's one of those things where it's like, I don't remember getting to an age where I went, wait, what's the Holocaust? Like, it just feels like it's like you just...
Yes.
In terms of big history things, you just always... It's just so embedded in...
Totally.
And especially with 9/11, like, it's influenced...
Well, you remember that Play School episode about the Holocaust?
What?
Just kidding.
I really want that to be a real thing. I'm so disappointed that that's not a big thing.
Yeah, Benita
big
leading
Ted.
John into the showers.
Big Ted leading people into the... Let's have a look through the Star of David window.
I was trying to think of a window shape.
It was
well done.
I was just working on all cylinders there.
It is weird, but like Hitler was pretty pervasive. Like it took... I remember learning about fucking... I don't know, the other World Trade Center bombing or whatever, you know?
Yes.
Like, there's plenty of stuff. And also, you forget when you're taught that shit as a kid. But if you're an adult teacher, you remember teaching people things.
Sure,
yeah.
But so this this wasn't like... It was like year sevens or something. Like, it was old enough where
they
I would have
know.
Thought...
They should
yeah.
It would have seeped into...
Just they've watched a TV show that mentions 9/11.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Surely.
Yeah.
Like, they all seem to.
You'd think now...
They've looked at memes about jet fuel able to melt steel beams.
There's more references to 9/11 in pop culture than World War II.
I knew of the Holocaust before I really knew any actual historical shit about it.
I would have heard the word before I knew what it meant.
Yeah.
So, the bird is the word.
I guess there's a difference between knowing 9/11 happened.
That plucker ad. The KFC.
So good.
I just had a moment of clarity, remembered that we're doing a video games podcast.
I had that moment a while ago. I just assume we're going to edit this out.
No, this is fun. This is good stuff.
It's good content. So, young people, do you know what 9/11 is and why do you play Rust?
Mm.
Yeah, all right. It's really weird to be like,
we'll
all right, like what kind of fucking lists are we going
to
show up on when we get a bunch of people who are 13 emailing us about 9/11?
Yeah, to an email address with the word filthy in the title.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, you know, let's seriously. I'd like to. I'm curious to get some
more demographic related listener feedback.
Yeah, we haven't done mailbag
mail
for a while.
Mail in with your credit card numbers and all that sort of shit.
Maybe we'll do a big. We do have a bit of backed up mailbag that we were going to try and get to today, but we haven't. We've run out of time. But we'll do that.
Too many tangents today.
Yeah, do we not maybe, have time? Oh yeah, I guess not.
Maybe next episode we'll do. Maybe we'll do all mailbag. We'll go through a lot of mailbag.
So if you've ever had anything to say, send
why
it
is it
in.
Always all mail bags? Why can't there be any women in the bag?
What about her story, not his story?
There is a game called Her Story that I kind of want to play.
Yeah.
There's a Michael Jackson album called History.
Yeah.
So we have been, just because we haven't been reading it out doesn't mean that we haven't been reading it and enjoying hearing what people like about the show.
Most weeks we almost answer a question and then we get distracted, but we read all of them and
We'll, it's very nice to hear from people too. I do like
hearing, I want to specifically shout out to Wendy, who sent one of the nicest emails I've ever gotten about anything, just saying like she loves the show so much.
She said she had these pills that make my dick so much bigger.
That was another one where again, what is it, the Three Stooges all trying to get through the same door?
Star of David window.
But thanks Wendy for that was really nice. So we appreciate positive feedback. You don't have to.
And also with, you know, we've been talking about trying to put do something in the live realm of this. We just need to know that it's going to, that there'll be enough people there that it's going to be worthwhile. And people writing in and letting us know that they're listening and stuff, that's a better gauge than numbers of whether or not it's going to be worthwhile.
If you want to do the classic write in.
If you want to be my lover.
But
was actually Sonic 2 that the Spice Girls wrote for.
If you want to say hi, I'm Gerald from Sydney. Let us know what city you're from. If we know there's a bunch of Melbourne people, we're in Melbourne. We'll just
tell
put
us
a show
the suburb. Yeah. Tell us your address. Give us a call. Don't tell us your address. I don't want that responsibility.
No. Yeah, we have talked a little bit about doing something possibly during the comedy festival. We'll try and squeeze something in one night. And if we know that there's enough out of you that we'll fill a smallish size room. we'll do something.
The 2:15 p.m. 96 tram.
Yes,
we'll all jump on. And
but we do. We actually have some ideas for stuff that would be more than just us talking about video. We've got some ideas for some special events.
Some
stuff.
Interactive multimedia.
Some silly stuff that we could do.
Yep.
With some friends of ours from the world of comedy.
This epilogue's gone for long enough.
Very good stuff. Okay, at Filthy Caz Pod on Twitter, Filthy Casuals Podcast on Facebook. You're going to have to read that email address.
Filthycasuals.pod@gmail.com.
Thanks. What?
From all of us here at Filthy Casuals, we'll see you in the digital world.
Oh, I thought we changed it to Party On Wine.
Let me just give me 2 seconds to think of a catchphrase.
All right.
Ah, I got no respect for video games.
There we go. That's
there we
it.
Go.
All right.
Ah, I say. I went as though that was a good idea.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.